The title of the sermon today is Complete in Him. Complete in Him. So Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 7 through 10, and then we're going to back up and talk about verse 10 a little bit more. So complete in Him. So Colossians chapter 2 verse 7 says, rooted and built up in Him, established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Boy, do we not see that happening in the church today. In verse 9, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him with who is the head of all principality and power. So verse 10 again, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Through my relationship with Christ, I am what? I am complete. Verse 9, in Christ dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead. Verse 9 says, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It is not Christ plus anything else that restores us completely to our Heavenly Father. It is not Christ plus what we eat. It is not Christ plus legalism. It is not Christ plus the law. But it's through Christ that we are complete and restored in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Look at verse 8 again. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. In verse 9, Christ has all power, all authority. The strength and the power of the Godhead rest upon Him, and that's why in verse 10, that's why Paul, that's why you can say, praise be to God, I am complete in my relationship through Christ today. So verse 10 means what? The spiritual work that needs to be done in my life and in your life to reunite you and me back to our Heavenly Father is done through what? It is done through Christ. And that work is complete. You and I and everyone else were created for a relationship with our Heavenly Father. I want to say that again. You and I and everyone else in this world were created for a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Until that reconnection is made through Christ, there will always be a hole in our lives that we will always try to fill with something else but never be able to fill it up. There will always be a void. When God said, let us create man in our image, you've heard me say that many, many times in the Scripture. Who was there? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So you're not only physical, but you are also spiritual. And you are created for a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And until that relationship takes place in your life, there will always be a vacancy. There will always be a longing. There will be always something that people or mankind will try to fill up, trying to find satisfaction. What did Jesus tell the woman at the well in Matthew chapter 4? You can drink from this well again and again and again. It will never quench your thirst. But if you drink from the water that I offer, if you drink from the water that I will give you, it will spring up into overflowing into what? Everlasting life. Because the life that I give you, the spiritual water, is a satisfaction, and it's only the only thing that will ever satisfy you. Through Christ, we are spiritually complete. And that spiritual completeness runs over into other areas of our life. I'll say that again. That spiritual completeness that we gain through Christ runs over into other areas of our lives. Now listen to me. Until you are spiritually complete, your ability to love will never be complete. Until you are spiritually complete, your ability to love will never be complete. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and I'll prove this to you. So Galatians chapter 5, I think I said it wrong. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Who is the vine? Jesus is the vine. You are the branches. You do not produce the fruit. He produces the fruit through you. What you do is you show it. You bear it. You reveal it to other people in your life that Christ is the vine that you have connected your life to. And because you have connected your life to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're complete in Him, there will be love that will be demonstrated out of your life. One of the fruits of the Spirit are what? It's what? It's love. From our completeness in Christ, love is produced in our lives. Husbands, you want to have a more intimate relationship with your wife, then develop a more intimate relationship with Christ. It is that simple. One of the most intimate things a couple can do is being in church together. And for the wives or for the husbands that have never experienced that, you know that there is something missing in that relationship that you desire to be differently than what it is today. But one of the most intimate things that you can do in your relationship as a husband and wife is sit in church together. Why is that intimate? Because you are showing your wife that you care about her, you care about God, you care about yourself, and you care about your relationship together. A drive-thru at McDonald's doesn't do that. Going to church together will. That intimate relationship that is developed between you and your spouse, because you have the same focus, you have the same goal, you have the same desire, that you're moving forward in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and because the husband knows Jesus, he is complete in Jesus, fruit is being produced in his life. For his wife that knows Jesus, that is complete in Jesus, fruit is being produced in her life, and that fruit is love. And that love continues to develop in the relationship as you grow and you grow. And it flows straight into the intimacy of one another. Through Christ, my salvation is complete. Through that completeness, my love is made complete. One other area I want to touch on today, and that is the area of emotions. Until you are spiritually complete, you will never be emotionally complete. I want to say that again because this is so important. Until you are spiritually complete, you will never be emotionally complete. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll show you the reason why. So Ephesians chapter 2, you're already in Galatians, so just go over a book. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. In verse 1 of Ephesians 2, it says, and he made you alive. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducting ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show you the exceedingly riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, verse 5 again. even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Through Christ, you know who you are. Think about that. You know who you are because of Christ and the completeness that you have in your life. You know who you are, and you know that what you are, that you are a child of the Most High God. I am a child of the Most High God. I am a child of the King. Don't ever question who Pastor Leo is, because I'm a child of the King. And he is leading, and he is guiding, and he's directing my life. And I praise God for that emotional restoration that I have received in my life, that I would know who I am because of what Jesus has done in my life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Yes, I knew who I am, what I am, where I came from, and why I'm here. Now, do you recognize how important that statement is? I know who I am, what I am, where I come from, and why I'm here. You as a Christian know exactly those same things. You want to bring balance into your life? Then get yourself saved. You want to bring clarity to your life? Then get yourself saved. We have lost a generation of children because they don't know who they are or what they are, not recognizing that they are special just the way that they are. We have lost thousands upon thousands, if not millions, of children because they're lost and they're wandering and they don't know where to go, they don't know where to turn, and the world is saying, well, maybe that's not who you are, maybe you're this person over here. Church, you have the answer. You know who you are, what you are, why you are here, because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Romans 1, verse 25, and it shows you exactly the world that we live in today. When you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, and it says this: who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. This is our world today. We are taking our kids at the most vulnerable time in their lives, and we are telling them a lie. Most adults don't feel all that comfortable in their skin. Do you remember how it was when you were a young person? Every young person is confused growing up. Who am I? What am I? Why am I here? And instead of teaching the truth, we have taken the truth of God's word and changed it into a lie. As if a little boy can change himself into a girl. As if a little boy can change himself into a girl. They asked the doctors in front of a congressional hearing last week, can you change it? No. You cannot change the way that you were born. You can change the outward appearance, but you cannot change if you're a boy, and you cannot change if you're a girl. We have done nothing in our society but cause more confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says that God is not the author of confusion. Satan is a master of confusion. Satan is teaching a lie. Church, we have the truth. Don't look at the gay community with anger or judgment. The LGBTQT whatever plus community doesn't need our judgment. They need our love, and they need to know the truths that you know today. If you don't think that they don't hate themselves, you're wrong, because they do. And this is the sad part, that the suicide rate among the gay community is twice as high than the normal community. Depression, anxiety is out the roof. drug addiction, alcoholism. And they don't need our hate. They already have it because they hate themselves. They need the church's love. I'm not talking about lifestyle acceptance, because we would never accept their lifestyle. Why? Because we stand on the Word of God. But we must love them and teach them and love them and love them and love them. But the completeness in Christ that He offers to each and every one of us, that they can know who they are and what they are. They can know why they are here. Yes, that they can be complete in the skin that they were born in through Christ. Our God is a God of healing. Our God is a God of deliverance. And our God is a God of salvation. He offers completeness to every one of us. Now, many of you know that I would be honest with you that my son, my oldest son, my only son, he chose a different lifestyle than what his mother and father chose. He knows what his mother and father's stance is. I went through the whole process as a man that has a gay child. I've been through embarrassment. I wanted to hide it. I didn't want to say anything about it. I didn't want anybody to know it, because like it would be a reflection on me because my son chose a different lifestyle. I've argued with him. We've argued with each other. We've yelled at each other. And I finally said, Lord, I give this up. I know what you have called me to do. He knows my stance. He knows what I believe. He knows what the Word of God says. My job is to love him. And I am going to love him until I leave this earth. And I praise God for the ground that he has made by my love, because I believe that that had an impact on it because of my acceptance of him as being my son. Every family, if you are one person in this, if you are one family in this church that has not been affected by the gay lifestyle, you are very fortunate. I am one that has been affected in my family by the gay lifestyle. Would you stand up if your family has been affected by the gay lifestyle? I want you to know, as a child of God, that you are complete in Jesus. That this is no reflection upon you. And you do not need to hold your head down in embarrassment. That we, as children of God, we have the answer for them today. And sometimes to get that answer from here to there is only shared by love. We love them. We don't stand in judgment of them. We don't stand in judgment of anybody that lives together, right? Homosexuality is a sexual sin. Don't be putting it in a different category, because it does not belong in a different category in God's eyes. In God's eyes, a couple that is living together, that's a man and woman, is just as abominable to him as those that are the same sex that are living together. Don't try to classify it as being something else. It is not something else. It is sin. And everyone in this room, let me tell you, everyone in this room, if you haven't heard it enough from me, we are all sinners that have been saved by grace. Hallelujah. They need salvation just like you got salvation. Let's pray for them today. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And every one of those people, we represent them today by standing up. And we're standing in their place. And I pray that, Father, the Holy Spirit would break through that barrier. That, Father, that lie that they have been told, that untruth that they have claimed, Father, we bind it in the name of Jesus, just like we bind the adversary. We come against that. The church has the truth. truth. The Word has the truth. And we pray in the name of Jesus, whatever that needs to be done to break through that, we pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus and every one of our family members, that will be broke through. Father, we will see victories. We will see that, Father, those that will be coming to the truth of knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that they can be complete just as we are complete in Jesus today. Father, bless the rest of our day. Bless our time, the fellowship. Bless the food to our bodies and the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.